really heading towards tomorrow, so if you follow this Gemara Kachamim with Kenasa. One of the reasons I want to begin on Yedal Mebeis is so that we would learn the sugyas that we've discussed in the Sugya Vedas. And to get some of the halachas of Gevi'ah in place, but also to learn today's sugya in a context that is not agenda-driven. So often we learn this sugya only when we have an agenda of where we want to go. So let's learn it as a regular sugya. The Gemara says that Hanoshim Bechlal HaNezek. Hanoshim Bechlal HaNezek. The Gemara says, Pashtun Hanoshim Bechlal HaNezek means that women are equally held responsible, and women are equally held, get retribution and get payment. So Minohan Emile, Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Achein, Tanur, Rav Shmuel, three different Makaris from the Tanoim. The first comes from the Korban Chatas, because it says, Ish O Isha. And the Tosfos points out, the top Tosfos points out that Stam Lashon Akra is B'Lashon Zachar. And that would always include both Zachar and Akeva. But when the Torah goes out of its way to say Ish, so then we darshan sometimes Ish V'lo Isha. The Gemara says that there are several cases where the Torah goes out of its way, that even though it uses the Lashon Ish, to introduce, to include Isha as well. So those three parshias are the parshias of Korban Chatas, which the Gemara says is the parsha of Kapara. The third one is the parsha of Koifer Vehemis Isha Isha, that we talk about the value of life, and therefore the payment as a result, and the beginning of Parsha Shmois, Parsha Mishpatim, Be'ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. The Gemara says the fact that it says Lifnehem is Hishva Kosav Isha Lish L'chol Dinim Shevetayra. Gemara has a very important svara why the Torah has to teach us this halacha of Hishva Isha Lish in three different contexts. One is that we should not assign that the value of life is dependent on the number of mitzvahs that a person mechuyav. So the Gemara says, I might draw that conclusion, and therefore say that the Tashlumei Koifer will be different for men and women. Gemara says, I might make a mistake and say that when it comes to in Yonei Kapora, we would distinguish, and the Gemara says it could be that when it comes to Maso Maton, the halachas will be different. Why would they be different Maso Maton? Because Darka Shalish, Lasais Maso Maton. So therefore the halachas of Maso Maton, both the responsibility plus the payment and the protection, I would say, should be different for men and for women. And the Gemara says that the Gemara introduces the Svara, which again is a svara that Reb Shimon discusses much later on, that in order for a person to be protected in the marketplace, they have to be held fully responsible. It's an important svara that comes up later on in the Achroidim. By being fully responsible, you're more protected. If you're not fully responsible, no one wants to do business with you. So the greater the responsibility, the greater the protection. So Gemara says that Eila, so we're going to zero in on the Pasuk Eila Mishpatim Mishatosim Lifneim Hishva Al Kosov Isha Leish Lachol Dinin Shebetorah. And this is the source for our Gemara that Anoshim Bechlal HaNezek. Anoshim Bechlal HaNezek means that women are held equally responsible. Correct? So ve'eila mishpatim mishetosim lefneim, these are the halachas that you should teach them. So our Gemara is assuming teaching Chesh and Mishpat, teaching the halachas at the marketplace. Correct? The Tosva says, Tema, holefneim le'ari elevikshevim lodun. Tema, that the Gemara darshins, Eila mishpat mishetosim lefneim, means these are the halachas you should teach the dayanim. Right? We've, on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, when we discussed whether dayanim could be smuchim or not, or could be dayanim if they are not smuchim, so we said, Eila mishpatim shatosim lifneihem. What's lifneihem? Lifneihem v'lo lifnei Akum. That's talking about dayanim. Lifneihem v'lo lifnei yotais. It's talking about Akum. Yeah, had yotais. Talking about dayanim. So the Gemara understood that Moshe Rabbeinu, Eila mishpatim mishatosim lifneihem, that these are the halachas that you have to teach the dayanim. In fact, the Tosis at the very, very bottom of Yudalit Amud Beis, the end of Dibra HaMaschil. Shema Amira, I think. There the Tosis says, Tosis quotes that Asher Tosim Lefnei, there's one Gemara that darshans that you give the dayanim the klei kfiya. These are the halachas that you should empower the dayanim to have. Alright? So Tosfos says, one pasuk, one gemara, several gemaras, learn, Eila mishpatim mishatosim lefnei, means Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching, empowering dayanim. And in that case, lifneihem would davka mean men, who are kosher to be dayanim. Our gemara says, Eila mishpatim mishatosim refers to the litigants. And in that case, it means that lifneihem is men and women. So one of the concerns Tosfos has is that the drushes just learn pshat and the pasuk differently. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to? And on the deeper level is that the Gemara is that Tosfos says that the lifneihem is taken very, very differently. Because if Tosim Lifneim is referring to the litigants, Hishva Yishalisha, Tarasuya, Nashim Chalanezer. If the Pasuk is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Dayanim, empowering Dayanim, giving Klei Kfiyah to Dayanim, so then Lifneim is, should Davka be men, not women. That's Seishva's Kash. Tema, Ho Lifneim Lo Yari Elo Bekshem Ladun. Dechein darshin v'ek baser degita lifneim alel lifnei adjoitos v'isha pesula ladun. How do I know that? The non-perik bo simen kol ha-kosher ladun ha-mishneh kosher lehod isha pesula lehod k'demin v'achoyvel cause in daf pei chesem and aleph we darshin, we learned this yesterday, that noshin, women are not k'sherim for eidos. Because the Gemara Darshan, this is one of the cases of the Gemara Darshan, that it's a noshim v'loy noshim. Eidus Perik Tes. Noshim suleis le'edos min ha'torah shenem fi shnayim eidim loshin zocher v'loi loshin nekeva. So the Tosva says, so how do we put the two gemaras together? How can we say that davka ar gemara lefneim is hishva akos of ishalish and it's referring to litigants when the Gemara says it's referring to dayanim, and we know that women could not be dayanim because they could not be eidim. V'yesh loymar, dahi de perek bo simen, so it could be, if teres number one, he de perek bo simen. that phrase, kol ha-kosher lodun kosher lohed, v'isho shepsul lohed, and therefore should be psul lodun, ahiyah perik basimen be'ish ari, kolomer kol ish ha-kosher lodun kosher lohed. Maybe that's referring to men, not to women. So it's referring to, if it's referring to men and not to women, in other words, a man who is posel lahoid is posel adon. A man who's a ganef, right? A man who's a korev. A man who's an avarian, right? But what about a woman? That isn't discussed. A woman would be kosher. Even though she's psul lo lehoed, should be kasher lodun. Right? In other words, the equation between eidos and dayonis can only be for men, not for women. Question is, what would be the explanation of such a strange din? I mean, how would we even explain such a din? How would we translate? Forget explain. Translate. Are we going to say that a woman who's a kereva is kshera? My brother cannot testify. My brother cannot be a dayan. But my sister could be a dayanis for me. And an ish who is a ganef can't be a dayan because he can't be an aid. But an isha who's a ganef could be a dayan. How do you even translate that? Forget about explain. How do you articulate such a halacha? What does it mean? What's Taisa saying? Taisa saying there's one exception to the rule, just that it means that a woman, the equation falls down only with respect to women, but not respect to other conditions. So Tosfos goes on to say, that's part one of Tosfos. Part two of Tosfos is, Umidech sev vehi shavtos Yisrael b'dvayra ein lohavi raya. The ika isha kesheira lodun. So now Tosfos says, you should be able to bring a raya to what I just said. I just came up with a huge chiddush, that a woman breaks the rules of the equation of eidos equals dayanus, right? A woman cannot be an eid, she's the exception. It can be a daya, a shefet. So bring a gevaldig araya, Tanakh, right? Novi, right? Shoiftim, perik dalet. Everybody gets the perik dalet, no? And even the yeshivas get the perik dalet. So if you don't, it's a haftara. So vi shoftis yisroel bedvara, ein lohavi raya. So he says, that could not be a raya. Why shouldn't that be a raya? The ishak shevra lo don. The shemoy mekabel neisa aleyen. Mishum shchinam. Maybe they were mekabel upon themselves, devora, and there'd be good reason. She was a neviyah. Right? Mishum shchina. Not because, doesn't mean that she would do dayonos via nevuah. Because that part would not be good dayonos. Right? It means Kadosh Baruch Hu is a pretty good askama, no? She's a neviyah, so you have a neviyah, so you want to bring your dina Torah to her as well. Mikablan oisa aleyan vim toimar. So that's why that would not be. Now there are several Tosfos that have other reasons why Devorah may have been a sheifetes, and that should not influence the halacha, right? Third part of Tosfos, the im toimar, the gitin dershinin lefneim lemiuti ed yoytes, v'ocher dershinin lerabbis isha. He says now we'll ask the same kasha, a little bit of different nuance in the kasha, and that is, how do you put the two gemaras together? So you'll tell me the two gemaras go together because a woman is taka kosher to be a dayan, right? So the pasuk and the first pasuk of Mishpatim will be an egalitarian pasuk. It'll be for men and for women. They can be litigants together. They can be dayanim. The Taisva says, but isn't it a problem to say that lifneim is in one case exclusive, and the other case lifneim is inclusive? What's the drasha? Is it lifneim bechlal or lifneim flow? Taisva says that how can technically, when you look at the word lifneim, what's the drasha? Is the drasha that we Kadosh Baruch Hu used the phrase because he wants to include more or exclude? Yisham the Hashem might mishum the lifneim kaylehim. Dechziv beparsha. So Taisva says, well, apparently it can be both. Because lifneim is referring to mismachim, because that's later on in the parsha. Im time below lifneim tepiklei divinin mumchim elayim. So that's the case. Maybe I shouldn't use lifneim altogether. Just darshan elayim yishlam bid lifneim isrech l'chol davar isa yukfiya avapi she'ein oidin d'boi mumchim. Says, nevertheless, the pasuk asher tosel mifneim will teach me that there are several parts to dayanus. One part is rendering a decision. One part is enforcing the decision. So I would need to still learn that to enforce a decision, I require mumche. So the conclusion of Taisus is that apparently the Asher Tosim Lifneim takes on two separate applications. One application with respect to Dayanim, one application towards litigants. In the application towards Dayanim, it is exclusive. In the application of litigants, it is inclusive. And that is expressed explicitly in the Shita, by the Ma'arit. Is it? Tema to highlif name Loikoya Isha. So he says, the ain Laimar, the Mari be Isha Mumcha, the Filumumcha ain't a donna. Does he, even if she's a Mumcha Ladin, it still would not be, she would not be kosher because Kolokosh Ladon? Ain Lefarish. To call a kosher ladun kosher loy koi el apsul yuchsin. Don't tell me like Tosfos. They call a kosher ladun comes to just teach me the din of kurva. Or divirshalmi isa ba'omdu shnei anoshim be'enim akosim edaber anoshim alay noshim me'ata isha ein odona kida omar kol a kosher ladun. The Ma'arit says Tosfos. Tosfos is sheet, his teretz is totally shot down by the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi knew that somebody would say it later on. No, can't be. Yesh loimar. How can we have lefneim both be inclusive of women and be exclusive? Two kashas. How can you darshan the same word to be inclusive and exclusive? And how can you darshan the same word to include women, to exclude women because they're possible to do it at Yaites? So he says, what Tosfos says at the very end, what Tosfos explicitly in Gittin at the very end, the haikra ari bidayonim ubenidonim. The pasuk really is a pasuk set in two levels. The pasuk, you see from the sugya, you see from Shas, that Chazal said this pasuk is dibur b'dibur echa nemru. It's two psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught halachas to dayanim, and he taught halachas to the litigants. So it's almost ke'ilu the two psukim. So asher tosim lifneiem hishva kosev yishalish l'cholon shishavetayra. So when it comes to litigants, then lifneim is inclusive and including men and women. When it comes to the dayanim, then it's exclusive, right? So what's the conclusion of the Ma'arit? The conclusion of the Tosfos in Gittin Kasha is, with respect to, can women be dayanim? So the conclusion of the Narbit and the Tosfos and Gittin, and maybe that's the last word of Tosfos in Bava Kama, is the woman cannot be dayanim. It says, Lifnei Mishva Ishalish, but that's with respect to litigants, not with respect to dayanim. Correct? There is a, however, the Tosfos has a shita earlier on in the Tosfos that says the women can be dayanim. They cannot be eidim, they can be dayanim. Correct? The Maravit dismisses that as being against the Yerushalmi. Shulchan Aruch does not pass. And Simon Zion says women cannot be dayanim. But can't deny that there is a shita in Tosfos that says women could be dayanim. Correct? Okay, so Yaisim Mikol Zeh. Lagabe, the Yaisim Mikol Zeh is we have a pasuk, have a Gemara, that Lifneim Lerabois Anoshim Anoshim, that means that with respect to the litigants, Gemara explains that there is a powerful Yisoy that's learned from this, and that is that the best way to protect a person in the marketplace is to make them responsible. It is not a shibud for a carrot. It is a source of protection. If you don't have the shibud of being held responsible, no one's going to do business with you. Good. Now we're going to move afield just for a little bit until the rest of this year to discuss the din of women being dayanim, women being eidim. So it's chad v'chalak. There's nobody says that women can be an eid. Correct? The only question is, can women be dayanim? Right? So, there is a shita in Tosfos that women can be dayanim. We don't understand that shita because the comparison of eidus to dayanus would then be limited to psulim for men. So why should a woman be different altogether? That's horror number one. Horror number two is that Tosfos says that Devora is not a, cannot be the model on which we can base the halacha, right? Because it would stand to reason that she would be an exception because she was a Nevi'ah, right? Now, why would it be that we would be allowed to, let's say there was a ganef who ended up being a navi. Let's say my brother is a navi. Does that mean that he's kosher? He can be a dayan. In other words, why would the fact that she's a Nevi'ah, why does that allow us to break the rules? Nope, what would you say? Effie, go ahead.
I thought it was not so much the Nevi'ah part, but it was the Kabbalah and stuff that accepted her as a dying, so maybe the reason why they accepted her was because she was a Nevi'ah, but once they accepted her, they could go by whatever rules they
want to
have in the
portals. So especially in Kabbalah, Mordechai, what would you say?
I would say, it goes back to the Rav's explanation of the two different kind of people are apostolatus. Because in this case, she's an Isha, but she has a redeeming factor in that she's now, she wasn't allowed, and now there's a redeeming factor that she's a Shofet. She's a Nevi'ah, but in the reverse could say, like, I was allowed, but now I'm not allowed. Even though I'm a Nevi, there's it overpowers your redeeming factor if you have something that, like, disallows you. So you were initially not allowed because of your Isha status, but so you come from not allowed to allowed as opposed to by a man where you go from already being allowed.
So you're saying that there might be a special din.
It would be like Mashman, what, Rav said it like in this difference between why you wouldn't be allowed to be an A.
Say it again.
the woman Nevi'a, it's a redeeming factor as opposed to an Ish where you were allowed.
Yeah.
Karuf, so now you're not allowed. So even though you have a, and like you have the status of a man, you have something that holds you back. Ish and Nevi'a, you have, you yourself are being held back. It's something you did personally. So you have something, but something, now something special about you allows you to come back.
Oh, so it would you're saying it would change your Isha status?
Essentially.
Go ahead, Meryl.
Is there an element in Dayanus of the Alikinim being allowed to be masculine to Dayan that's not necessarily a kashrut don?
Right.
Like it's the halachos like Zephar that people are allowed, like, there's like an element of like a skama between the Balidinim. They can choose something, even though the person's like not necessarily a kashrut don, both Balidinim are like accepting of this Dayan, then this Dayan can judge anyway.
Right, so that's what he was saying. That's what the Ritva points out in Nida. Unfortunately, that the Bar Ilan Ritva in Nida is not the Ritva that I have. Maybe it's the Rashba. Oh yeah. Is there a number on Nida? This Ritzva that they have says he refers to himself in Sanhedrin, but doesn't say where in Sanhedrin. So the Ritva, that's where the Ritva writes that a person has the ability to makabel upon himself any psul. So that's one, that's probably the best pshat in Tosfos. All right, there is and that's one teretz that Tosfos gives. Tosfos in Tosfos in Shavuos, Chav Tes Amud Beis. When he raises the same question, either means that she was teaching, she wasn't really paskening. Or it means they were makabel, her up, were makabel upon themselves. Right? So there are two kashas that the toast that have to be raised in the toast. So one is, how could Tosfos say that the pasuk, the equation of Dayanim and Eidos, refers to Ish, not to Isha? The Rav's suggestion, this was to say, was a significant chiddush, but he based on what we discussed yesterday, that the Ravid says there are two kinds of psul eidos. There is psul eidos and mufka from eidos, explained yesterday, So the, and we pointed out, yes, that the Rambam holds that a woman is posel but not mufka. So the Rambam suggests that the Tosafot holds the other way around when it comes to Anisha. That Anisha is mufka from Eidos, and therefore not posel for Eidos. And therefore she's not addressed in the posel. Call a kosher lodun kosher loid. That's what Tosafot means. Tosafot means that a person who's in the parish of eight, the posuk of kol posul ladun posulod is those who are in the parish of Eidos. So if you're in the parish of Eidos, so then you have to be, can't be a korb and can't be a ganav. If you're not in the parish of Eidos, so then you're certainly not roy to be a dayan, but you're not addressed by the posuk. So when the Torah, when the Gemara says "Kol HaKosher LaOd," and "Kosher LaDun," the Gemara wasn't even conceiving of a woman because she's mufka from the parsha. As we explained yesterday, the Rosh writes, the Rosh quotes the Ravid that if a person has a group of Edom and one is posel, then the entire group becomes posel. But as a group of Edom and one of them is a goy, that doesn't make the entire group puzzle, because the goy was never part of the parasha of being an Edom. So the Rav thought there was a machlekes Rambam and Tosfos as to whether a woman is puzzle for Edos or mufka for Edos. So we developed yesterday that she's puzzle for Edos. And the best raya is that she's kosher for Edech and then Misurin. Right? And the takana that we learned in the Ramah, that in a situation where there are only women, so women were going to be will be Edom. So we paskin that women are posel, not mufka, and we paskin that women are posel for dayanus. The Rav suggested that there's a sheet of toast, not that women are kosher for dayanus, but they're just not bechlal in the parish of Eidos. So they're just not candidates to be a dayan either. The shita that we would read and that's most easily read as saying that women are kosher for dayanos, the Rav thought to be read in the extreme other way. But then the Rav went on to discuss how do we understand Devorah? So Tosfos is two shitas. Either that Devorah, either we were Makabel Devorah, and that's what the Ritva says, you can Makabel a person who's possible. You could probably not be Makabel a person who's Mufka. Or that she was Milamedes. So the Rav said that he thought there was a very Dechik Heteretz. The Torah says, the Navi says, Vishofta Yisrael. So how can you say Vishofta means she was teaching? All right? Then it would say, Himi Lamedes. So, Hidorsha. So the Emes, I thought that that's not such a powerful kasha, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when Yisro speaks to him, and it says that he was Oymid B'din Kol HaYoyim, and then Yisro says, but how can you be Oymid B'din Kol HaYoyim? He says, but people are asking me questions. So you see in Chumash that being Oymid B'din could be being Moir HaYirav, paskening, and not necessarily adjudicating. Nevertheless, the Rav went on to point out an important yesod that we should pick up. So the Rav Chaim pointed out a very important diuk in Rambam. Rambam Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Aleph. Here the Rambam points out that two dayanim cannot be. Can you have two members of the same beis and being related? So the Rambam says, "Dinei mamunis v'chein atumus v'chein atara." So obu b'noi rabbi talmidei moinin oison b'shnayim. If you have dinei mamunis, father and son, can be counted as two. The nefasha, he said, Makas kiddush achoydesh, all the benoy rav talmidei, moin and oisen beachad. They're counted as one. They're not separate opinions. Zesh onu moin and ha'omim ben. Whenever we discuss counting a father and son, one or two, kigoyin shoye echad min ha'tzedhedrin, v'ashen ho'yim min ha'talmidim, that would be if one is a member of the Dayanim, and the other is one of the Talmidim that's sitting in front. Sha'omer yesh lumit chur sechoiva. Shoimin devar v'noisin ima v'nimna nima. So then he's engaged in the discussion and he is counted. U'bishas gemara din, but when it comes to paskening, ein germinis adin b'kroivim shadayon m'kroivim sulin l'dun. When it comes to the psak, of course, we're not going to include a father and son as separate members in a psak. So what is remarkable in this Rambam?
It's different between being involved in din and paskening.
And even going further?
You can have people that are puzzled for din.
Okay, so that in of itself would not be remarkable because you go to a Beis HaMedrash, you don't start saying, I'm only going to discuss this Tosfos with you, not your brother. I wouldn't say discuss with you, can't discuss with your brother. You're related. So to say that the Maso Matan includes relatives, no, okay. But the Rambam goes a step further than the Maso Matan. No, what is the surprising Nukud in this Rambam Gami Maso Matan? Who's that? So in Maso Matan, it sounds like that in Nefoshes and Kiddush HaChodesh should be counted as one, that is two. Okay. No? Count all together. Yeah. Who said there's a minory when it comes to Maso Matan? Now that's what the Reb Chaim pointed out. There's a huge Kiddush in the Rambam. To say that we count the members of the Beis Din when it comes to adjudication, of course you have to count, because you have to go bus a ride. So you have to know me by me. So the Rambam says you're counting up the yeas, the nays, the osses, the mutter, you're counting up, you have to know who the rive is. Are we machadesh the takana, not machadesh the takana? Do we say there's a good kalvachomer, not a good kalvachomer? And obviously, are we going to pass, do we hold that he's chayv, not a chayv? Do we pass like the tzois and the sivas? You have to go bus a ride. The Rambam says, Reb Chaim pointed out that's halacha tes. Pishas gemar din and garments and din. We're not going to include kerovim, even the kerovim that we counted already. Zeshon umoyin na'av. That's my masu matan. So Reb Chaim says, you see, there's a step in the psak of a beis din. That first, there's a step of coming to the decision, coming to the hayra, and then there's another step in coming to the psak din that we are going to impose. So when it comes to discussing whether we're going to paskin tzais and desivas, there's a minyan there also. Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam, Tosfos, how do we paskin? Rambam says, not all bald, rolled up into one final psak din, but on the way to the psak din, there are going to be decisions that have to be made. Those decisions may include members who are not part of the Beis Din, not part of the Sanhedrin, they're Talmidim. And those members, we're going to include Kroivim. And we're going to give a father and a son a different positions when it comes to understanding a Rambam, understanding a Tosfos. Why shouldn't we? When it comes to where they're going to hold like the Tosfos and the Sivas. Rambam has a psak that you heard many times. So the Rambam says that we can repeal a din by a beis din that is godol b'chochmah v'minyan. So many of the Mefarshim say that the Beis Din is Godel B'Chochma, it's hard to figure out, but all right. Maybe there's a way of figuring it out. But you'll never have a Beis Din that's Godel Dominion. Because every Beis Din is either 3, right? 71, right? You don't have a Beis Din that's Godel Dominion. So, different terutim are given. One terut that could be given is that obviously in the final Psak Din, it's going to be a Beis Din of 71 to determine good kavanah, bad kavanah, or good takanah takanah. But leading up to that Psak Din, you can include Talmidim. So part of the conversation and part of the information that's used for the final Gemara Din could be a Beis Din that's larger than the 71. You see from here. Hold on a second. But the point that Rav Chaim was making is you see from this Rambam, the Ravid, as you can see, disagrees with this. Chai Roshi, Ein Eroi Leitam Levech Medvar Meilu, Ki Lamasu Matan Mai Minyanika. Right? Ravid says, this is an out of the ballpark Rambam, right? Chai Roshi, what's going on over here? My God, right? Ein Eroi Leitam Levech Medvar Meilu. Doesn't, right? So he says, but the Rambam says it, right? Rav Chaim points this out. So Rav Chaim points out that there is, that these two processes are separate, and the Rav said that might be what Tosfos means. The Tosfos says that Devorah was Milamedes, so, but the Navi says she was Shefeta, she was Shofta. So how can you go against what it says in Navi? So Rav suggested that the Dayanim included her in the Maso Matan. They included her in the conversation. She had Neviya, right? She was a Mumedes. So in the conversation, she was there. When it came to the final Gvardin, no, she was, then she was Psuludon. Alright? So again, so he pointed out the following. He pointed out that there is a sheet in Tosfos that is most easily interpreted in Isha's Ksheva Ladun, even though she's Psulod. That sheet may or may not be the best way to be Tosfos. Nevertheless, the other sheet in Tosfos say otherwise, based on the Yerushalmi, do not accept this Terence, it's called Lord Kosher Ladun. And they explain that Hishva Isha Leish in Asher Tosim Lefneim is because Chazal learned this pasuk in two separate levels, one as litigant and one as dayan, and in one Lefneim was inclusive, and the other Lefneim was exclusive, and that's how you can have the same word being both because they're really two separate drushes, two separate limudim. Hayetzim calls that is an isha psula ladun. However, what do you do with Devorah? So either you say Devorah kiblu aleo, they're makabel, you makabel, and then we would be, I think, be saying that like the we learned yesterday in Rambam that isha is psula but not mufka from edus, or Tais would be saying, and this is certainly consistent with the Rav's reading of the line in Tosfos that Isha's Mufka from Edus, and therefore Mufka from being a Dayan, but there are several parts to Dayanus. And according to Rambam, being part of the Maso Matan is not simply being in a Beis HaMedrash. There's a minion to being part of Maso Matan. There are decisions that are being made. There's being part of the Masumatan means being very raw. There will be everlasting conclusions that are part of the Masumatan. Because we will always know that Roiv Chachomim held like, again, loss of love, it'll be Rambam Tesis. But then it was like Ravina. It was like Rabbi Akiva, right? So those Hayrois are going to, there's a minion for those Hayrois, because you have to know how to pass it. In other cases, applying the Psak Din, applying all those Eirois for this particular case, that was a separate Gemara Din, a separate minion, that could not include Kroivim, Right? There we were afraid of bias. You know, we were afraid that how you get a pasan against my father. It's an important psak din, important case. And we're talking about coming down to the wire. And it's going to be a rive of one, maybe not, maybe he'll lose. So then bias could come to play. No, so then relatives cannot be counted. Smith.
Yeah.
Question. Gabriel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I find it hard to believe that a basin full of seven gidolim you need to have beforehand, they need to get clothing or they need the women. I just don't, for seven gidolim, why would they need?
So the Rambam describes that when the Sanhedrin sat, so they had the Dayanim sat in sort of a semicircle, and there were Talmidim sitting in front, rows of Talmidim. In fact, they were referred to as a Kerem, like rows of vineyards, and that's the name Kerem Yavna comes because when the basin sat in Yavna, so the Talmidim were sitting with the Kerem Yavna. Why were the Talmidim there? So they were there because they wanted to be part of the action. They were there because that was their shimush. They were also there because if a dayan couldn't make it, if a dayan was disqualified for whatever reason, so then the Talmud was then picked up. A dayan was nifter, for example. Right? So then we knew, it wasn't like the Supreme Court, then we knew the Talmud were arranged in the Kerem. So we knew the pecking order. So the Rambam also says that they were there. So they were also part of they could volunteer. Yesh Yischus, I see a different way. Vakasha, Vateretz. So you're not talking. You're talking about, you know, tier two. You're not talking about Talmidim. You're talking about Talmidim who probably had already served in various towns already as Rabbanim, as Dayanim. So they're on their way to be appointed. So the answer to the question was, it was like one big Beis HaMedrash. So in any Beis HaMedrash, you have Talmidim who will look at things in different ways, and they, right? So that's why they would be players. So even if you have, I would say for Karet, you can have 71 Gedolei Yisrael, Apal Pikein, you're going to have tier 2, tier 3 is going to have important things to say also for Karet. They were also the Yonim who had been in the field already. The Koyakar says, quotes a pos, quotes a medrash. Everybody darshans. The yikhuli is a truma. Right? So everybody darshans that it should be the yidna. Why is it the yikhul? Because the person who gives is going to be getting. Person gives stock, he gets more from the giving than he thinks he's giving. So the Kliyakar says that that's true for teaching Torah as well. The two areas where the yitnu is vidivikhu is in the person who gives stock and a person who teaches. So that's the yisayin Torah. That's why Torah says Torah nimshal kamayim. Because it can't be any guy when it comes. Just like water, you don't mind asking a person much younger in stature when it comes to Torah as well. So I would look at it the other way around. These are the facts. The facts were that the 71 Gedolei Yisrael were interested in what younger they don't have to say. The Kachi Dagger Shul Torah. Jeremy?
Jesse,
sorry.
What would be the difference in our focus between your Rambam and Tosfos that they would have different reads of if a woman is pasul or mukhtar? How would they understand it differently?
What would be the aside of the Chaykas? I mean, the question would be that when the Gemara darshans, and Noshim, Malay Noshim, so was the Torah saying that what the Torah is saying, that Noshim are so much not a part of the, again, now we're going now off into the time of the Krah, right? That's what you want? So the what it would be saying is, it'd be saying one of two things. It would be saying either that the Torah wanted to protect women and protect their privacy and protect their stature, that the Torah said they could not even ever be considered to be an aid. Right? What was the intent of, again, Tamad Dikra, what would be the intent of the Rabbanu Shalom disqualifying a person from being an aid? So one way, one reason you would, there could be three reasons. One is because we don't trust them. Or even if we trust them, but they carry a certain bias that can never be erased, right? Kurva, right? That's one reason. The other reason is that, another reason would be that that this group of people are so, in a positive and healthy way, so clueless that their observations are just not the same. All right? And the third is to protect them so they would never have to be schlepped into a basement. That is not lefi choydom. All right? So let's say a melech. A melech can't be an A. It's not because we don't trust them, not because of bias, it's because we want, and it's not because we believe he looks at things all differently. He once was not a melech, but he wanted to protect his position in order to make sure that what's that called in English? When you protect a person that he can't even be made, and the president, it can't be subpoenaed. There's a word for it. No. Nobody here in the
executive privilege.
Immunity.
Was that immunity? That might be the word. Right. That the person is being protected. In order to protect his position, he cannot be brought in. So there are Rishonim who say that the reason why a woman is postal for Eidus is because it becomes a zilzal for women. Coming to Beis Din, there's a certain zilzal, there's a certain wear and tear, you get pushed around, you have, lawyers can speak to you in a very rough and crisp way, they can question you, you can get beaten by being an aid. That means expert witness, right? You can come out bruised. So in order to protect, not lefi chvoida, of a king, to get to be questioned, so the Gemara says it's not lefi chvoida women, it's a zilzal. For a guy to walk in and get pushed around and get beaten up, all right, he comes out, he's the same guy, he has a scar, he's proud of it, right? But for a nefesh adina, for a person who's sensitive, who's ragish, who's has been protected and hasn't, so then to get pushed around and get bullied and get bruised by Adrish v'chakira. So if, and again, what I'm saying now is entirely speculative only because you asked me. If a woman who is mufka, it could be either because the expectation of the Torah is that a person who is protected, kavod bas melech panima, would just not have the grounding to be able to get things right, to observe things accurately, would not have the experience. So it's not a question of being trusted, but the perspective is just not a, or it's an order not, that they have immunity, that they should never have to undergo the zilzal.
Isn't the fact that it's gzeiras hakasav, that Dafka taught Eidus by men to make it sound more like their mufka, meaning it makes it sound more like that aspect of that side than that maybe we're just trying to protect them. If we're trying to protect them, then okay. It was Mishadesh is dinned by both of them, but we made it to Kana so they could be safe and protected.
No, so I was the other way around. Being protected, in order to protect, you have to be mufka. If you're not being possible but not mufka, we know is not a full protection because we paskin posel, not mufka. And therefore the kadmonim paskin, we learned yesterday, right? What was it? Nunhe or lamede? Chesha mishpa. Lamede. So in there we, the Ramah says, in the very end of lamede, the Ramah says, kadmonim said, there's a fight in Israel's notion, we call them women. If they would be totally mufka, we couldn't call them women. So we could only really offer protection if they're mufka. That's what I would argue.
Tosis to say they're puzzles. That's not difficult given that it's exerts a cost of dafka teaching the din of Edas by men.
Okay, say it again. The Torah, the exerts a cost of is v'omdu anoshim v'le anoshim. Right? So you're saying that loshon should sound like totally not bachlal. Right. As well as an eid chomus means it could be an eid. But here, so omdu anoshim v'le anoshim. The Rambam's lashon is no. The Rambam just says that the lashon is a lashon zocher. The Yerushalmi quotes that. Does that mean it's more of a? Or does that say that is your question? That the pashas of the lashon harambam, the pashas of the lashon harambam is that women are psulim but not mufkam, right? And the rambam's lashon is the lashon psula is shenem al pishnayim edim lashon zocher v'loy lashon nekeva. So maybe that's why the Rambam did not quote that Yerushalmi. Could be that's like Lishitose. Tosafos, who quotes that Yerushalmi, maybe holds that that's, I think it's a big chiddush, because Laniyos daita to be mufka from Eidos, it's hard for me to understand why. Well, let me go the following way. If you hold that a woman is mufik medus, that means you have to hold that Eidech and then Bisurin is a different, is not really based on Eidech's Bechlal, which is true. The Tosafos says in Gittin that Eidech and then Bisurin is based on Cheskas Kashrus. So that's true. And I developed yesterday the idea that Eidech and then Bisurin is a form of Eidos, and that indicates that woman is in the parish of Eidos because she's very much in the parish of Eidech and then Bisurin. But there is another approach that Eidechon is not a din of Eidus Bechlal, which is that every Jew is a Cheskas Kashrus. And Hayois, that I shechted this animal and I haven't announced anything else. So my Cheskas Kashrus is sort of includes my mas and my passing it on. Okay, that could be too malchum. Yeah, go ahead.
Is the halacha of Masculine and sad for
Dina
Fashos? Is that by
Masumatan?
Is that by the...
So it's hard to say. It's certainly by the Gemara Din. It would sound like from Rambam that it's in the Masumatan also. Yeah. It would sound like. Go ahead.
When we spoke about the line of saying that the women are not to be included in the line, whoever can judge can testify. So we said that we're not going to include women to exclude women. We said because they're not in the parsha, but then how do we explain that when we said they're not psul, they're mufka, but how do we explain the times where we said that they technically are in the parsha of Edus, like we said yesterday, when they're the times that we are going to look
into? Right. So look, so I would think Lanias Daiti, if that when the Rav said that it could be that women are mufka from Edus, that the Rav would say that. That sheet and Tosus would not allow women to ever be Edom, even in the in situations where women are only available. Right? In other words, the Shulchan Aruch did not allow women to be Edom Bechlal. The Ramah quoted that there was a Takonas HaKadmonim that in situations where only women had this information, like the fight in the Ezra's Noshim, and then we would allow women. And then the Rambam at the very end, and the situations where men don't have the time to go to Beis Din. So l'chayva, all of that is the way explained yesterday. That's only based on the understanding that we accept l'halacha that a woman is possible for Eidus, but not mufka for Eidus. But in l'chaname, l'chayva, if women are mufka for Eidus, then these kadmonim would not have established these dinim.
But maybe even if you say that we follow the halacha, you could still say make her a din. It's not; they're not really the parsha. Just circumstantially, it's not. It's not that like that's what we hope for. We don't wish for that situation, but it's only circumstantially that we'll allow it. So maybe you could still say even if we follow the halacha, we'll still not consider them in the parsha, and just because we allow them in certain.
The significant difference, you know, when you say that somebody is posel or not in the parsha, so what's the difference? So the significant difference is that one is a candidate, but cannot one is a candidate, but there's something that's sort of getting in the way of us using your candidacy, and the other is bechlal, not even a candidate. So lechor, if you minimize that distinction, then you haven't really then your distinction is not significant. It then just becomes semantics, words. That's why the strongest indication of the two different ideas is what the Rosh says, whether they would be considered to be part of the Kat, would they be considered to be passing the Kat if they are themselves apostle. Right now the Ritva that I'd wanted to discuss but that doesn't show up in this Ksav Yad is the Ritva that goes, it makes two points. In my Ritva, I had it in my notes, I have it in as Nida Mem Tesimut Beis. But it could be that I was using an old Ritva that may be a different Rishon. And there, the Ritva says, it makes this point that Effie made before, and then the Ritva went on to discuss why Devorah was not in violation of the Isur of Sarora. But since we don't have it in front of us, so we'll have to leave that for another time. All right, so I'll have to leave that. But we pointed out this insight of the Rav that how do we explain Devorah? So Tosfos has two possibilities. Either that she was Mukubelas, this parenthetically became became the, historically, this line of Tosfos became the argument that Rav Uziel furthered for allowing women to vote back in the 1920s in the Jewish agency and allowing women to run for positions. Rav Kook was against this. Rav Kook predated later on after that, he wasn't. And then Rav Kook argued in the 1920s that women could not run for positions because. Because of Sror. And Rav Uziel in the 50s, much later on, argued that women can run for positions. Why? Because he held that a woman cannot be in an appointed position. But if the position is not appointed, it was voted in, then it would be permissible. Is there Raya? Because Devorah, they were accountable Devorah upon themselves. So that is assuming, not like the Ritva. The Ritva says, as Effie said before, what Kabbal Dvar means, they walked into a base and they said, these are good dayanim. And they said, we want Dvar to be our dayan. We can be Makabal anyway to be our dayan. It's not to say that we are allowing that this, that therefore this position is not a position of significance. And Raziel argued that it meant that there was Klal Yisrael was a kabbal upon themselves. It was almost like a democratic position. And therefore he argued that the reason why Devorah was not a violation of Sarara in these circumstances because it was a position that was voted in, Ke'ilu, and not a position that was imposed upon. So it was this is a very important line in Tosis. How you learn Peshat in this Tosis, obviously there's huge ramifications. Having said that, it is a Machlekes Bali Tosis. And the others, Shita Tosis is that it was not, it was that she really was not a dying b'chlal. Then the Rav had this gevaldik akasha, but it goes against the pasuk. So he pointed out that you see that within a beis din, there is a position of being moira and being malamed, but not being gemer adin. Ad kenekach that the stage of being malamed and being moira had a. It was so significant that it actually counted. The meaner. And you had to, and they had to figure out whether you were eligible to be counted. So the Rav said that's what Pes was pointing out. That Devorah was eligible to be counted as one of the Moira Heroes, one of the Malamdin, but not as the one who would be going Redin, because that, for that you have to be a Dayan. Okay, so the other parish of how Devorah was Devorah in violation of Sarara, we'll have to leave another time. We'll invite you tomorrow, Mr. Hashem, onto the.
So you got me waiting for it.